This is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance from CFG Wealth Management. When a part of your financial strategy is out of tune, your long-term goals, your retirement savings, and your legacy can all suffer. With many years of experience in the financial industry, Travis provides his clients and prospects with the information they need regarding Social Security, retirement income planning, wealth management, and much more. Listen in as we address your financial concerns and provide helpful solutions to put you on the path to achieving your retirement goals. And now, here is Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Welcome to Navigating Your Retirement. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our host, the man with the plan, as always, is Travis Chance. And Travis, CFG Wealth Management, love it. How are things going over there? Doing well?
Tony, I'm a little worse for wear. I'm not going to lie this morning.
What happened?
Yeah, I told everyone on the show, you and I talked about it, went to Disney for 4th of July. And a couple things, you know, let's start off with the good stuff.
Okay.
The good stuff was it was hot, but it was actually not as crowded as it has in past years, as it has been.
Wow.
So we actually had a pretty relaxed, kind of a chill time, because you didn't have to, you know, you didn't have to wait in line quite as much. Actually, there was a spot there for about 2 days where, you know, most things were walk on. It was crazy. We've been to Disney World with the kids countless times. And yeah, I can remember going in off peak seasons, whenever it'd be like in October or September or just something random with the kids when they were younger, and it would be slammed. And this was 4th of July, 250th, you know, Independence Day celebration. And it was not, I mean, it was,
that's crazy.
It was remarkable, but,
that's interesting.
But you and I were talking, and I want to share this with the listeners. Maybe they'll get a kick out of it. Folks, we all have to assess from time to time. And I think about, you know, the Toby Keith song from The Mule, "Don't Let the Old Man In." I'm trying not to let the old man in. Right. I really am.
Keep him at bay.
Keep him at bay. But I will say, as Clint Eastwood said in one of his Westerns, and I believe it was Outlaw Josie Wales, a man's got to know his limitations. Holy cow, Tony. We went to a water park one day, and actually the first day we got there, and I rode everything the kids rode, and thinking, you know, hey, I'm fun dad, I'm gonna ride, just, you know, same thing they do, you know, we all go together. Holy cow, I felt like I was in a car wreck. About 2 days later, I had to take three a leave, get my game face on, do some stretching. Didn't have time for an ice pack, so just rub some lidocaine on it and had to go. It was interesting. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'm kicking 40 out the door, about to hit 50, and I'm gonna go ahead and say a man's got to know his limitations, and that includes me as well. So
yeah, my water park days, Travis, long behind me. I mean, we're talking about probably 15 years.
Well, you know, you don't think that there's a limit, you know, or a time when it's just all of a sudden the switch is going to flip.
But, yeah, you think, water slides.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, and I think the last time we went to a Disney water park, I mean, been to other water parks, but last time a Disney water park was probably, I don't know, maybe 2019, you know, sure. So I don't know, 7 years ago. And that was, you know, early 40s. And I was like, you know what, this isn't bad. And now I'm like, holy shnikes, like, get up, man. I look like I'm unfolding out of a box. My neck's all jacked up and my back hurts. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But
I go over to the neighbor's pool and he's got a little slide going in, and he goes, take the slide. I'm like, nope. I won't even do that. I'm done.
That's a hard no.
I'm just going to lay on a floaty in the pool. How about that?
Well, it's very sobering to like I said, get up out of that slide or the water, you know, all of a sudden then you go into this 3 foot, you know, wading pool. And for me, I'm 6'4". So they're like, just roll out of the tube. And I do that. And I immediately hit the bottom like a rock because you know it's 3 foot tall. I'm 6'4", so you know doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that math out. It was like I got beat up at every corner. But
My last, I'll never forget. There's a place called the Wisconsin Dells in the Midwest. It's just all water parks. There's probably 10 huge, ginormous water parks. It's like Disney with all their parks, but it's all water parks, and they have the tornado. They have, I mean, it's hundreds of acres of water parks. It's just famous, the Wisconsin Dells. Well, we took the kids there, and the last time we did, my son was almost getting too old to go to a water park, I mean, or get excited about. But the last time we did, I just remember hitting when I go down the slide, there's no good way. I'm glad no one filmed me trying to get out of that. I'm hitting the bottom. I'm trying to stand up and the water's shoving me. And it's just like, okay, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with this. I'm done scraping my feet, hitting my elbows. I felt like I'd been banged around. Like you said, a car wreck, you know,
it was bad. I'm not kidding. Like
they're Shannon, made for kids.
Yeah. Shannon was, we were standing in line. We were watching like the tidal wave pool, which was actually pretty cool. Cause they have this tidal wave pool, which will have like an 8 foot deep in. And then there's this eruption and it just like shoves water and all these, you know, all these millions of gallons and creates like this tsunami. And, I'm sitting there and I'm like, babe, you know, nothing crazy, but you got to massage my neck. Like I felt like I was about to need like a neck brace. Like I'm fixing to walk around in traction. It was nuts. Now I'm going to tell you, but Tony, let's get into the show. I know the audience is tired of hearing about my woes and troubles, but you know, since we're talking about then versus now, it kind of got me thinking about the topic of our show, which is based around retirement planning and, you know, then versus now and retirement in that vein, what happened? Because I think I think it kind of correlates to what I was talking about with what happened at Disney, because for years and years and years, let's think back, let's think 40 years ago, right? We were reminiscing about our younger days. Let's reminisce about retirees' younger days, say 40 years ago, 1980s, right? You had most people after working 20, 30, 40 years with their employer, all of a sudden they get their last paycheck. But then the next month, guess what happens? Another paycheck comes. And then after that, another paycheck comes and another one and another one. And why was that? It's because they retired with something that this generation and the coming generations are going to have very little access to, which was what? It was a pension. You know, the biggest retirement decision back in the 80s was not, can I afford to spend this money? It was, and I'm going to use your example in just a moment. So don't steal the thunder, cause I'm going to come back to that.
All right.
But it's not, can I afford to spend the money? It was usually, you know, what are we going to do with this free time? Because they didn't worry about their money showing up. They had mailbox paycheck money. They turned around every month and
pensions and social
even if
security.
Their account balance zeroed on June 30th, July 1, they had a flush account again, right? They had their monthly deposit.
Yep.
And you fast forward to today and most retirees and most Americans today, they're not going to have access to that. They're going to have their 401k, maybe an IRA, a Roth, and social security. And that's really it. They don't have that guaranteed money. They have an investment portfolio that they're, excuse me, going to be managing some of them themselves. Some of them will use, you know, folks like us, but some of them are going to do it themselves for maybe 25, 30 years. And that's where the pressure is going to be placed. It's going to be on them. It's not going to be, the responsibility is not going to be on the employer. It's going to be on the employee or the retiree. So we're going to talk about today some things like why the pensions disappeared, whether generations are actually better off, and what can retirees learn today from yesterday, and how they can apply that to maybe have a better or a more confident retirement. So I feel like that's something that needs to be addressed. So,
well, yeah, I would agree. And the whole thing about how much do you need, worrying about running out of money, and letting, you know, that's really handicapped some people because they're too worried about it. Right.
But let's talk about, like you said, the retirement shift from guaranteed income to personal responsibility. That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, the old model, it was, you know, 20th century, three-legged stool, right? Yep. It was Social Security, employer pension, personal savings. And for millions of workers, the pension was their foundation. That was like building a house. That was the first thing they did. They knew whenever they retired after working 20, 30, 40 years, that their foundation was going to be set and it was going to be secure. And millions of workers, that's what they did. The employers like GM and IBM, and you know, these are the people that accepted the risk, not the employee. Employees, they had a very simple choice. You retire at 60, your pension is X. You retire at 65, your pension was Y. It was just you flip the switch whenever you wanted to turn it on, and that was pretty much it. Today's model, which basically started in the 80s, that's really, and it was, we can talk about a lot of things on what led up to this, but it was also about the time of the introduction of the mutual fund.
Yep.
You started having these financial companies lobbying Congress to say, hey, you know, we need to have another mechanism to be able. And then this is my opinion. All right. What I'm about to say, you can do your own research and you tell me your opinion. But my opinion is you had companies that basically said, look, we need a way to sell these things, to put these in the market.
Yep.
And, you know, they may not have had that really that intention previously, but said, hey, we need to have an additional savings plan. So maybe not just a pension, but also we could do some salary deferral or tax savings and incentivize people to continue to save for their retirement. 401ks were born, and the alphabet soup, everything in publication 590, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, SEP simples, blah, 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 blah. Yep. So, but what happened is it actually allowed employers at some point to say, hey, wait a minute. The employee is potentially going to live 25, 30, 35 years or more, and we are on the hook. And that's when employees started saying, okay, what are you going to do instead of that? And employers, once again, I don't know, this conversation went exactly like this, but employers were like, look, why don't we give you a lump sum of what we think your pension is valued at, and then you can invest it on your own. And employees started to take that, and they were like, you know what? That's cool.
The 401k,
the 401ks. And all of a sudden these guys, in some cases, were millionaires on paper overnight, because now instead of the employer having to hold the liability in the paper, they passed it on to the employee. And that's whenever the dramatic shift started to change, right? We started to see that shift over.
They really put the onus on the employee, and the employer didn't have to worry about it. But
think about what that now puts as pressure on to retirees. Yeah. They now have to invest their portfolio wisely. Yeah. They have to make sure that they're saving enough. They have to manage their own taxes. They have to decide how much they can safely withdraw to make their money last.
Yeah.
And that is something that they never had to do prior to whenever it was just the pension model.
Right.
So, you know, statistics show the EBRI, Employee Benefit Research Institute, I was pulling some of that up this morning, says in 1980, 60% of private sector workers were participating in an employer's retirement plan that had a pension. Today, that number is under 15%. So that shows you right there, the responsibility for retirement has fundamentally shifted. So the question is, what are the pros and cons, right? We've set the table. Now let's serve dinner. The pros and cons of the pensions versus the investment accounts. Well, the advantages of the pension, Tony, let's talk about this. And then I want to get back into your example. So the advantages of a pension, what are the benefits, right? What am I getting for this? Well, pension does a lot of things. Number one, it removes uncertainty. So bills continue to get paid regardless of what the market does. If the market's like 2008, or dot-com crash or 1987, you keep going back in time. Doesn't matter.
It was guaranteed mailbox money on a monthly basis.
You see the S&P or the Dow go down 5% in a month. Guess what? You look in your mailbox, you still got the same amount of money you'd had the previous month.
Yeah, so, even in 2008, if you had a pension and the market goes down 50% and has a crash, you don't care. I mean, you might care, but it's not going to affect you, your ability to pay bills in retirement because you have a pension. And it really lifted the burden. It was more of a sleep well at night. I would prefer a pension over, hey, I might be able to make a little more, but I've got to do all this work. So that really has changed, though. I mean, you can't rely on it. There are no more pensions unless you work for the government. And even then, they aren't what they used to be.
So, sure. Yeah. So to key in on what I was saying previously, you have the ability with the pension to do what? You have a method of retirement income, a mode of retirement income, if you will, deposited every month that you can't outlive. And like you and I just mentioned, 2008 dot-com crash, whatever it was, the benefit of having that is pension recipients usually don't panic when the market declines because their income doesn't change. It's going to continue regardless. Now, the disadvantages, because let's try to call it down the middle. There are disadvantages, and I think we have to do the Ben Franklin, weigh the pros and cons. The disadvantages of a pension, very little flexibility. Once you elect a pension, that's it. So if your income is, say, $4,000 a month, whatever it is, and your pension has no COLA, no cost of living adjustment, then you are going to get that regardless, right? Does not matter. Markets go up, markets go down. You're still getting the $4,000. There's often very little inheritance for children. No legacy to speak of with a pension because why? They're guaranteeing that for either you or you and your spouse's lifetime. They're not concerned about leaving money to the next generation. Now you could guarantee that. Let's put a side note in there. You could guarantee some type of legacy if you chose like a guarantee with life certain, right? 10-year, 20-year life certain, where no matter what, someone would receive a check or a payout for 10 years, 15, 20 years, whatever that was. It is dependent on employer funding. That is key. That's why employers, a lot of times, I believe, got rid of them. It's because employer has to fund. If there are shortfalls, they have to make it up. There's a usually stated rate of return in the pension. And if it doesn't meet that, they have to be the one to make the assets and liabilities match. There's very limited control. You usually don't have a lot of say-so in what happens. And many pensions do not adjust for inflation. Many pensions are just flat.
Yeah.
Now, once again, that is why they were never designed to be the sole source of income. That's the reason they were the bottom, the foundation, which typically, if you were to build a house and you renovate the house, you can move the wood walls inside or remodel or do those types of things, but you're generally not moving the foundation. And that's usually the pension. That's not going to move a whole lot.
No.
But the advantages, let's talk about now the advantages of taking the money and putting it in your own account, your IRAs and your 401ks. It does provide that greater flexibility. You can put it in anything that you are allowed to, right?
You have more control.
Thousands of options in an IRA. Very generally 15 to 30 in a 401k if it's a real robust plan, but generally IRAs, unlimited almost potential.
Yeah.
You have potentially higher long-term growth. If you want to take more risk or, put it in NVIDIA or whatever, that's not our investment recommendation. That's just for illustration purposes for all you regulators out there. So if you were to put it in like a really high aggressive growth stock portfolio, you could potentially do much, much better. There are legacy opportunities. If you don't spend all your money, that money passes to the next generation. Better tax planning than pensions, because pensions are generally going to be what? They're going to be taxed as ordinary income. You're going to get a 1099-R, just is what it is. With an IRA, you can do Roth conversions. You can basically pick and choose what you want to take from. You know, if the market's down, you could take from this account and leave this account alone. You can go back and forth. And then last but not least, it provides that ultimate on you control. You're the one that determines what happens first and foremost. But here's where the challenge gets real. With the freedom, Tony, comes responsibility. And I know sometimes you hear these old phrases like, you know, just set it and forget it, or if you know, don't look at it. And a lot of people take that same advice and carry it over into retirement, and that could cause problems. Because you can't afford to just leave your retirement portfolio alone and not look at it. Not at least not look at it maybe on a quarterly, semi-annual, or annual basis, where you can rebalance, you can actually adjust your distributions, you can adjust your tax withholding. All these things have to be monitored. And you also have to come to the conclusion of, let's say, instead of asking, you know, what check am I going to get, or when am I going to get my check this month? It comes to, when and how much can I safely withdraw money? Well, the first question is all about security. The last question creates anxiety, because like you just said, and Tony, I'm going to share your example. We were talking about going to Disney World, and you were talking about your mother-in-law taking the whole family, extended family and everybody, on a Disney World vacation. And I think that was a fantastic idea, because that's memories that are going to be outlive any retirement account that she may leave behind as a legacy.
Sure.
Those memories you can't put a price on.
Right.
And that is something I feel like most retirees want to do, are those types of trips and those types of memory experiences
for their kids and grandkids.
But if they don't have the confidence, then that actually, instead of just being a want they need to fulfill, it turns into a sense of anxiety, because they're like, I want to do this, but I, you know, okay, the market's up or down this month. Should I do it? Should I pull the trigger? And, you know, you even made mention that her financial advisor was really not helpful because he didn't find a way for her to do it. He basically only gave her opposition to doing it.
Right.
Which I think is abhorrent.
I would agree. Yeah.
That's not our job. Our job, as I see it, is to help you find a way to do the things you want to do.
Especially if you've been diligent about saving and have money. I mean, if it's going to bankrupt you, no. But if you're in your 80s, like she was,
I don't agree with that.
And she had still had hundreds of thousands of dollars in her account at that point. You can't take it with her. She can't take it with her. She wants to help her grandkids. I'm like, why did he tell her no? It's like, that is terrible. First of all, she had been talking to him for years about wanting to help the grandkids. He should have had her moving money.
He should have been setting money aside to fund that over a period of time.
Yes.
But with what you just described, I mean, I'll just give you my opinion. Her RMDs alone, maybe with a little more aggressive withdrawal strategy that she could have spread over 2 years, would have eliminated probably the tax liability issue and would have allowed her to have that experience maybe earlier, where she could have been a little more mobile and actually enjoyed it maybe a little bit more. So I'm just telling you, that's the kind of thing that I feel like we put at the forefront of our planning. Is I'm not here to tell you what to do. I am here to tell you there's a way. We have to find it. Yeah. We may have to be somewhat flexible. You know, I have clients all the time, you know, can I remodel my house? Can I do this? Can I do that? Well, yes. The answer is yes. We just got to figure out how, you know, can we take the distribution over, say, 3 years, maybe do a HELOC.
Yep.
That way the taxes that you owe on those distributions will probably be positive arbitrage versus the interest you pay on the HELOC.
Yeah. There are a lot of strategies.
There's a lot of different strategies that you can employ. You just have to figure out what's the best one for you.
Right.
So,
Tony, and that's the difference between working with a trusted financial professional who's looking out for your best interest.
Working with an advocate.
But you have to give, if people have enough, you have to give them permission to spend. And especially like my mother-in-law, who was raised, you know, on a not wealthy on a farm in South Dakota, and her parents were Depression era parents that she had. And so they were, you know, she's always been afraid to spend. And, she's going to, you know, pass along with, you know, a tax burden and pass a tax burden onto her kids rather than create experiences while she's alive. And I'm glad she ended up doing it, which is good. Because like you said, those experiences, you know, you can't get those.
But the role that she should have been in, or that her advisor should have been in, is to provide her with the confidence.
Yes.
And figure out, is there a way to do this that doesn't cause irreparable harm? And I can honestly say, just from the listening, the limited amount of time that we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But you have to plan. You got to do it on paper so that if there's a mistake made, you just hit delete or erase. You don't make the mistake. You go ahead and say, okay, if I do it this way, if I do it that way, there's tons of different ways to do it, but you got to find the one that works.
Yeah. And that's what you do for your clients.
Absolutely.
And that's what our listeners and viewers out there need as well, Travis. And so I know that you offer a consultation there at CFG Wealth Management, and I think that they should take advantage of that.
Absolutely. But before we get into that, Tony, because I do want to finish the show strong.
Oh, yeah.
So the last point I want to make is this. Out of everything that you and I've talked about, the personal story, thank you for sharing on your side, what you and I have talked about in the previous points, it all leads to one thing. It's having a plan, having a income plan, usually is going to do what? It is going to instill that level of confidence that everyone I think is missing, because they don't know what they don't know. They don't know, is the market going to correct, and is that going to cause some issues? Is that going to lead to a spiraling effect on your retirement portfolio? Well, that's where someone like in my position needs to step in and say, no, it's not. You know, we look and there's tons of statistics out there. I'm going to pick a few. And this is from the EBRI, again, Employee Benefit Research Institute. It says that it consistently finds that retirees with guaranteed lifetime income sources report significantly greater retirement confidence than those relying primarily on investment accounts. TIAA, George Washington University School of Business, shows that retirees with pension-like income or strategies that they have employed actually allows them to have less financial stress and are more comfortable spending throughout retirement. Tony, retirement's a puzzle. It is a puzzle that has to be put together. It has to, all of the pieces have to fit so that they work together to create your perfect retirement picture. But so many times people don't, because they feel like if they make a wrong mistake, if they put the piece in the wrong spot, maybe it's going to cause them to run out of money before they run out of breath. And that's just not what we want, right?
Right.
So the greatest takeaway is this: confidence gives permission to retirees to actually enjoy the money that you've spent decades saving. But the problem is, folks, most of the time, Social Security is where we stop the conversation today, because everything else, you know, there's so much mis or disinformation out there that it's like, okay, what do I do? I don't know how to do it. I read all these good statistics, and then I read the bad stuff, and then it's paralysis by analysis. But at the end of the day, that's what you need, someone like our situation, to help walk you through that process. Because if you're approaching retirement and wondering whether your investments can truly provide confidence of a monthly paycheck that you can't outlive, that's why you need to start the conversation. You need to have the conversation to start to instill that level of certainty that most people are out there mentioning or missing. And Tony, you mentioned earlier, yes, for those that listen to the show, for our current clients, thank you for allowing us to serve you for all these years. But also, you are probably sitting out there listening and knowing that the confidence you have now was not something that happened overnight. It was amassed over a continued appointments, conversation of planning and making sure everything was done to your specifications, not someone else's. And you're probably sitting out there thinking, you know what? Bob, that was my coworker, he could probably benefit from this. Or Jane is really struggling right now. Pound that forward button and send this podcast to them so that they can actually start to maybe figure out what's right for their situation and what's going to help give them some confidence. And folks, if you are out there and you are listening and you are not a client, if you're in that phase of wanting to retire, I would encourage you. We have classes coming up. Come in. You can go to our website, chancefinancialgroup.com, to get more information, call our office. Come in and find there may be questions that you're not asking that could have a direct impact on your happiness in retirement. But here's the problem. If you don't ask, you won't know. That's why you need to come. Let us help give you some questions and give you some answers to make your retirement a more fulfilling experience.
All right. Well, Travis, great show. And that's a great message to get out there. Listeners and viewers, pick up the phone, give Travis and his team a call there, get some answers, ask some questions. 877-269-0839. That's 877-269-0839. Or go to chancefinancialgroup.com. Travis, great show. Listeners and viewers, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Navigating Your Retirement with our host, Travis Chance. Thank you for listening to Navigating Your Retirement Radio with Travis Chance. Don't pay too much for taxes or retire without a sound income plan. For more information, please contact Travis at CFG Wealth Management. Call 877-269-0839. Or visit them online at NavigatingRetirementRadio.com. Advisory services are offered by CFG Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Georgia. Insurance products and services are offered through TL Chance, Inc., an affiliated company.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or enforced by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.